This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh, and you're listening to the Evening Edition. Now, last week, New Zealand announced that they would be banning foreign property buyers in a bid to improve affordability of residential property. Now, the country is seeing a housing shortage of approximately 60,000 houses, and that number is growing by about 40 houses a day. Many locals don't even own a home, and according to recent reports, hundreds of families in Auckland were found to be living in their cars or their garages. Now, the move by New Zealand has prompted some experts to say that they're adopting a protectionist policy, and based on specifics, for example, how they appear to be turning inward economically, and they've started restraining trade between countries through certain methods like having restrictive quotas or taxes on imported goods. Now, economists have said it's a negative step to take as free trade is the way to go. So we got in touch with Firdaus Rosli, an economist with the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS Malaysia. Firdaus, thank you very much for joining us this evening, and you know, to help give us a better understanding of the economic policy of protectionism. I guess we could start first with, you know, perhaps you giving us some historical context into protectionism.
I think first of all, we must take note that protectionism is not something new. It has been adopted by many countries, both by advanced and developing economies, to ensure that the benefits of economic activities are not run in an efficient manner, i.e., there is a need here to protect the inefficient. That's the whole idea of having the protectionism policy in place. But having said that, though, in the past, we see that very industrialized economies, such as Britain, France, United States in the past, that adopted these protectionist policies to ensure that they are able to nurture infant, quote-unquote, infant industries. We see that in the case of the UK, for example, the textile industry was booming in the 1800s. So there was a need for them to ensure that this industry will continue to thrive in years to come. In the case of Malaysia, something closer to home, we adopted something similar after we reached independence. So we realized that we were quite dependent on imports back then. And there was a massive import substitution drive right after we reached independence. But it did not last for very long. And only after a certain period, we realized that our domestic market was just too small for our own producers to depend on as far as manufacturing is concerned. And then there was an export-oriented drive moving forward. So as a result of that, we see a lot of areas for manufacturing, free trade zones, were opened by the government to ensure that this policy can be done in a more efficient manner. So it's a similar thing here. What we are experiencing today is very much a repeat of what was done in the past. So back then, it was, like I said earlier, it was just to negate away from economic efficiency, and it's pretty much what is happening today. So you see that advanced economies are pushing for protectionism simply because they don't think that there's any more room for them to grow with the current policy in place. That's one. Secondly, there's a huge disparity between the haves and have-nots. There are a lot of socio-economic problems arising from this, and you see that the gap between the rich and the poor is only widening over the years. And you see that there are a lot of concerns about the inequality as a result of the global economy becoming more connected with each other over the years.
So can you tell us what it means to be protectionist then? And what does it mean to free trade? And perhaps also tell us about the eventual outcomes in choosing either of them.
I think, first and foremost, what we are experiencing today is just a symptom of bigger things to come. I'm not trying to paint it in a very scary manner, but it seems to me that there are a couple of things that we have to consider in order for us to look at the today's scenario in a bigger picture. Number one, simply because the decision by the US to pull out from the TPP, for example, it seems like they are slowly trying to adopt a more inward-looking policies. But at the same time, the remaining countries in the TPP are still moving forward with the deal. without the U.S., although the final package might not be the same because of the exclusion of the U.S. from the trade deal. And in case of Brexit, it's still, at least to me, it's still not entirely clear. But all in all, you see that these markets, these economies, are having these me mindsets and values, not just because they are populist, but because they think that this is the right thing to do in their own respective economies. But the fact is that we are living in a very globalized world. So whatever inward-looking policies that they adopt will affect the rest of the world as well. Protectionism is not like how it was done in the past. You know, back then, if one country were to adopt such policy, it would not affect others as much because, you know, international linkages was not as strong as what we see today. But today is a different story altogether, you know. Protectionism has evolved over time. It has also become more sophisticated and more detailed. And I think the impact will be felt at a global scale rather than just at the one economy kind of scale.
So there seems to be this push for free trade in order to improve economies. But on the flip side, protectionism works to protect a country's economy, like how it's working for New Zealand with this ban on foreign property buyers. What other examples are there out there?
I think there are many examples that you can find out there. But one thing is for sure, none of them stay for very long. They are very short term. And after a point, they will realize that the policy that they adopt is not working. And by then, they will try to reverse whatever that they've been doing in the past. But when that happens, you've burned bridges. Businesses are affected. There'll be a slowdown in economic activities. And for them to repair this kind of scenario would take time and will take a lot of effort. And, you know, it will, like I said earlier, others will have to contribute also to ensure that things are run like how it was supposed to be. That's one thing, right? These things are short-term. Secondly, you will realize also that a lot of advanced economies and advanced markets are the one that is pushing for this because they've probably reached the diminishing returns of how growth should look like in the future, or at least in the near future. You know, so that's why I think protectionism would work because they would have to repair one particular section or industry or business activity or perhaps at a more company level, in fact, to ensure that they would able to quote-unquote repair or address market failures that stem from that particular activity.
So we see a lot of these advanced nations adopting protectionism, but I wonder if ASEAN would it work in our favor, you think?
Okay, at least from the regional setups, any regional setups that we have today have always been pushing for greater economic activity, more businesses, more trade, more investments within whatever region, whether it's ASEAN or APEC or European Union, you name it. As far as ASEAN is concerned, that will not happen. One, because many of these protectionist policies do not derive from here, because we have always been an advocate of more trade, freer trade, and more economic activities, at least within this region. As far as ASEAN is concerned, we have completed our ASEAN AEC 2015, and, you know, ASEAN is also looking for another long-term projection towards AEC 2025. And that, you know, that's just not entirely it. There's also a separate vehicle through TPP 11, which four members of ASEAN are member of. So all four countries under the TPP 11 are still pushing forward for the TPP to be realized in the future. On top of that, we have the Belt and Road Initiative by China, and quite a number of ASEAN countries are supportive with that initiative, and that is all about greater integration, more economic activities, whether or not it's infrastructure or trade or investment. But all we are seeing, at least in this part of the region, that more trade is how wealth and prosperity is going to be made in this region. In the case of our country, we have specific industry protectionist policy in place. And there's no reason why we cannot adopt in another, as long as we have a proper justification for it, whether it's to nurture infant industry or whether to address dumping, for example. Many of these things are actually allowed by the WTO. But more importantly, I think, whether or not protectionist policies will be adopted by countries in the future, things would probably run as usual, because these things don't happen immediately. You know, they will probably be processed or progress towards something. The point I'm making is that what we're seeing today are just symptoms. So whether or not it will turn out to something more drastic or something more, lighter in the future, or maybe it will disappear in total, we still don't know. But these concerns are real. So all this social economic disparity and all that are very much being addressed at a specific country level, and not just at a more regional level.
So protectionism looks as if it's making a comeback this time round, but how long will it stay for? With the US pulling out from the TPP agreement and the Brexit as well, some argue that being a form of protectionism, we can only wait and see how things will unfold and in what ways the adoption of this policy will affect these big economies. My thanks to Firdaus Rosli, economist with the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS Malaysia. You can download this podcast on our BFM app, which you can get from the Apple App Store and also on Google Play. We've got another segment after the 7:30 p.m. news, and that one is going to be on the UN's Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.